This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, Bob, we'll get back to the Penguins and Mike Sullivan. Huge news. They've parted ways with Mike Sullivan. Apparently, there's still an idea out there that Dubas and Sullivan get along. I'm not sure I'm believing that at the moment, Bob. I didn't believe it last year at this time when it was reported that there was friction. They wanted to get rid of Todd Reirden. They weren't seeing eye to eye on a philosophy moving forward. Why isn't Sullivan here? And maybe they liked each other, but I would include friction as I have this vision for this organization. You have a different one. We got to part. That's the very definition of friction to me. And of course, we have Crowley and Dickerson reporting that Sully Crowley told me from an impeccable source that Sully went to them with a list of non-negotiables. As if we couldn't picture Sully doing that? I mean, the report seems very believable to me. I trust their reporting, and the fact that so many people from certain areas have jumped out to refute it makes me believe it 1,000 times more, Bob.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And whatever the case, you know, again, I think both sides were kind of looking for an exit strategy, and they both found one that made sense. So they did it. I will say this, there's always friction between coaches and GMs. I don't care who you are and what you do, but there's a mutual respect that goes with that, too. You can have different opinions, and that's how it should be. There's nothing wrong with all sorts of different opinions when you're trying to put together a team, a roster, your thoughts about how you should play, all of that. Did it ever get to the degree where they couldn't coexist? I don't think so. I just also think there was a time, and this was the time. So they both did what they had to do. Whether it was a non-negotiable list or not, something happened in that meeting that made them realize it was time to move on. So that's where they are right now, and the next thing will be, who do they hire? Would you want a big-name coach? Would you want a guy in, you know, college ranks who's doing a really good job? There are a lot of those
sure.
guys.
Sure, I want Spencer Carberry II. I want a guy who can instill a structure and grow with the younger players. The Capitals are not that talented.
But you have to have players who adhere to that, too. The one thing I'll say about
Washington, the better.
No, but some of their older players did adhere to it.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to have that buy-in from those people.
Sure. Yeah, of course. That would be my preference. I'm waiting for, you know, more names to come out among these young guys, but it may very well be someone that nobody's heard of. And I think that's where Kyle Dubas is going to go, too, by the way. And wasn't Carberry in the Leafs organization when Dubas was there? I think somebody like that is my preference. How about you, Bob? Or would you prefer a veteran?
I think I'm looking for somebody who has, and listen, Mike Sullivan was in that boat. Bylsma was in that boat. There are a lot of coaches that just need a chance. Carver is only 43 years old, and he's had a big history of moving around a lot as a player, for sure. I'm just looking at his resume right now. He was an assistant with the Toronto Maple Leafs in 2021. So if he hadn't had a job in Washington, he may have been on the list here for the Penguins, because I do think Kyle Dubas will tap into that list of associates he's had over the years.
All right. Well, we'll come back to that. In fact, Tyler Kennedy's going to join us. But we have a draft to talk about. Bob, your initial impressions. How about an initial grade before the semester even begins for this draft?
These are hard to give grades when you don't see anyone play other than what they've done in college. But I'll give it a B+, a strong B+, because I think they had a need to shore up a defensive line, to get physical in trenches. I think this has been a continuation of what they've done the last couple of years. 2 years ago, it was offensive line with Broderick Jones. Last year was more offensive line with three guys taken in their draft to play offensive line, and all three ended up playing quite a bit, including Zach Frazier and Mason McCormick. So this year was the other side that they wanted to take care of, and they got two guys who have history of doing that in the Big Ten Conference. That's the other takeaway. It's a very – you know, they were looking for production. Everyone wants to go to combines and talk about all their leaping ability and this, that, and the other thing. But They were looking for production. So I think they got a lot of guys who have proved to be productive in college, and whether or not they take that leap up to the NFL, we'll see. I think Will Howard was a very good value pick at six. They needed a quarterback to put on there, and who knows what he can turn out to be.
Well, I'm going to give it a B- for now, and I don't get me wrong. I really do like Derek Harmon as a player, for example. But I think they passed up the quarterback. I mean, it would be ridiculous for me to sit here after all these months of praising Jackson Dart and quoting people like Ben and Jack Ham and Dan Orlovsky and Pat Bostic, who all of whom would have endorsed the Steelers picking Jackson Dart at 21. And I think they passed up a potential franchise quarterback. So no matter how much I may like the pick that they had or the picks that they had, but especially in the first round, I think they passed up a guy who could be their guy into the future. So we'll see. Aaron Rodgers for a year? Next year's the year? I don't know. Limits, what do you think? What grade do you give them?
You know, I, as the draft went on and on, started to like it more and more. I give them an A-. I think the Harmon pick was a good one. I did not think that he was going to be available for him. Caleb Johnson, another really good pick. Sawyer, a really good player. Saw a lot of him at Ohio State. Again, it doesn't fit a need, but I think of good value. And you think about how the Eagles have built their team up with like 12 different pass rushers.
Yeah.
It adds to that. A-. They didn't draft the quarterback till the sixth round. That's what I wanted. I was completely fine with Howard in the sixth round because we're talking third round for Will Howard.
I'll tell you this
point.
Much, Limits. They're definitely going to win the Big Ten next year, the Steelers.
Easily.
Bob, they're the favorite to do that. I don't know about a playoff game.
Don't even have to change uniforms. Black and gold for Iowa, black and gold for the Steelers. So
just a three-hour drive for Will Howard and Jack Sawyer right now.
I like that Omar and Mike doubled down on defensive linemen. I do like that. They took two. But again, overall on the draft, and it wasn't just me, like it's not some out of nowhere harebrained opinion on Jackson Dart. It might be a wrong one. Of course it could be wrong. But when somebody like Jack Ham and Ben endorse such a pick, Bob, I feel pretty good that was a guy. And then he goes four picks later. To me, there was a major missed opportunity there. But it's going to play out over the years. But here's the other thing, Bob, and Limits. And Limits, you might want to pull up a little chair because it's story time with Grandpa Joe.
I'd love to.
Even though Bob's older than me. Would you like a cup of hot cocoa or something cooler on a day like today?
Today I might go with a nice glass of ice water.
Bob, I'll give him a glass of ice water.
I think when you're going to do these kinds of stories, lemonade or an Arnold Palmer mixture.
An Arnold Palmer will give you
Limits. Do people call it ice water? I just say I would like some water, and ice is just automatically assumed.
Bob, ice is never assumed, is it? Because some
supposedly,
people
supposedly,
like
ice
water
is not as good for you as lukewarm
That's
water.
That's right, Limits.
Really?
Things have changed.
I think it also depends on where you are, because there are some places that just do not give ice.
That's a good point, Bob. Like, if you're in a restaurant, you're not necessarily getting ice in your water, Limits.
Oh, I think you are, yes.
Bob, are you definitely getting ice in your water?
I habitually do, yes. Always. Even though I just said it's not good for you, I still like it.
Here's what I'm getting tired of. The big, bad, physical, nasty Steeler theme. Mike Tomlin saying we needed to retool physicality in so many areas, and Omar Khan saying, these guys have Steelers DNA. How many years are we going to talk about this? How many? Limits. And this is where we go back to, we can go back to the Kevin Dotson draft. And we can talk about how Adrian Clem at the time loved that draft because Kevin Dotson and others in that draft were in the mold of Vince Williams and David DeCastro. And one thing they say at Stanford, said Adrian Clem, was they were building a bully. And we want our offensive linemen to be like that. We're going to be nasty. That was the word coming out of that draft. Were you still in high school then?
Yes.
Then there was 2021 where we had more nasty people taken. In fact, I think our very own Mark Cabali, our dearest Mark Cabali, was quoted on The Athletic, or maybe this was 22. Was 22 the Kendrick Green year? Green fits the mold of what the Steelers have been doing with their line all offseason. They've preached everybody together now. The return of physicality. That's why Mike Tomlin says it's better to say whoa than sick'em, or just whoa, Bob, if you don't want to add
But
the
I
A.
think a lot of people are looking and pointing toward the Philadelphia Eagles as reason why they want to try to do that, because they've been so successful with their trenches both sides.
My point would be they've wanted to do this and have espoused this for years now, and they got pushed all over the field last year, couldn't get a yard on offense.
Because they had the wrong people.
Right, so why should we believe they have the right people now?
You got to keep trying until you get it right, right?
I'd say the same with a quarterback, but I'm not even done yet, Bob. There was the 23 draft, and the Steelers got guys like Mount Washington, etc. in that draft. And guess what everybody said? Joey Porter Jr. they got in that draft. We're going to smack you in the mouth, Joey said. And Mike said, obviously we value all together now, if you're out in your cars, physicality. And these people are capable of playing a brand of football that we value. Bob, I think I'll keep going here. Then there was the big physical draft of last year. And then there was the training camp of last year that had a physical theme, and all the new guys were astonished at all the tackling that went on. And Van Jefferson said Mike, wants all 11 of us to be physical on offense. And we got other teams, Jaylen Warren said, they know what it is when they play the Steelers. You can see what we've built here. Well, again, what they built here is a team that got shoved all over the field for 10 and a half minutes at the end of the Eagles game, something I've never seen before. Same thing happened.
Closed out the game.
Yes.
Just took the ball and never gave it back.
Same thing happened in the Ravens game, the playoff game, where they allowed 300 yards, and they couldn't get a first down on offense when they needed one. They punted on fourth and one. So in this camp, I think this was Mike DeFabo, and this was a good story. This was last year's training camp. In this camp especially, the word physicality has been on the tip of many players' tongues. When the Steelers hired Arthur Smith, who's known for his run-heavy, tight end-friendly offenses, the new coordinator made it a point to say he wants to have the most everybody out in your cars all together now, the most physicality on offense in the league. And that buzzword has carried over to the practice field. So I'm sorry. I love Derek Harmon and Sawyer and some of these other guys. He looks like he's a really good player. I'm talking more about the team at large and this idea of Steelers DNA and physicality. They got their asses kicked last year. And every year in the playoffs, they line up and they get pushed off the ball. They can't get a yard on offense to save their lives, and they can't stop anybody. So what Omar and Mike should have done is sit down and say, listen, we've preached this stuff year after year after year through two regimes now. I don't blame anybody for not believing us, but we love what we got, and we'll see if it pans out. We're tired of talking about it. But instead, we got Steeler DNA. What does that even mean, Bob? Is that like looking for a Brontosaurus's DNA? Yeah, they were physical and tough and mean a lot of years ago.
What you said was all right. The plan was correct and still is correct. The execution of the plan has not been correct, and that's the problem. You know, you thought with DeMarvin Leal, you get a guy who would make a difference on that line. You thought with Isaiah Loudermilk, they were propping him up. They moved up in the fifth round to get him, that he would make a difference. There are a lot of guys who've come and gone who have not done on the defensive line what they were supposed to do. So the plan is fine. It's
and
just
the offensive line.
Well, both. But that's why I said the last 3 years they have tried – and whether or not they succeed or not, we'll find out. Broderick Jones moving over to the left. They better hope that's the cure that he needs. And with Fatano, but you can't go against what they were trying to do. Now, it's about these guys taking that next step.
Oh, no, I love trying to do it. Every team in the league is trying to be physical and push people around.
The plan is fine. The execution of the plan has not been.
What year did they draft Najee? 21?
21, I think.
21. Yep. I went all the way back to 20. But again, 21, the plan was we've got this, you know, physical, intense runner, and we're going to push people around in the run game. That's what we're going to do. We got our quarterback, we got our running back, we got our tight end, we got our receiver, and we're drafting linemen, and we're going to have a bruising, physical, ball control offense to complement our highly paid, physical, nasty defense. Well, that defense gave up more 40-point games in a row than any in the playoffs, than any defense that has ever been in the National Football League. Nobody had ever given up 40 points in three straight playoff games.
Record-breaking.
And it should be five, because if Josh Allen wanted 40 last year or 2 years ago, he gets it. If Lamar wanted 50 last year, he gets that. But he was too busy running off the last 11 minutes of the fourth quarter, shoving the ball down the Steelers' throat. And I get it. Now they're addressing it again. I just don't want to hear about the big, bad physical Steelers anymore, because they've been talking about it. Mostly Mike Tomlin, been talking about it for years. And it not only has it not come to fruition, the opposite has.
Right. They have not done what they said they were doing. They acquired guys who were supposed to solve that part of it, and it hasn't happened. So that's why they did it again, and we'll see what it means. But the bottom line is you have to win the trenches, and every team knows that. Every team goes out to get that. They're going to – and that's why it's hard to give grades on draft day. You can – look at it, feel good about it. They all do. I looked at some national reports where just about everyone, the lowest grade I saw was a C.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything below that. Well, you know, in time, we're going to find out what this is really, the grade that it deserves.
Yeah.
And some of the previous ones have been failed grades for the Steelers, and a lot of other teams have thought they had hit gold in these drafts. So
I guess, Bob, it's the idea espoused from them, their sort of aura. And certainly around the NFL that, oh, man, these are typical Steelers picks. Nice and physical. They're Steelers. And the Steelers always know what they're doing, right? You can count on the Steelers. Well, before Fotanu, who we don't know about, and Broderick Jones, who took a step back last season, they nailed two of their previous 10 first-round picks. It just feels like it's taking a long time for people to realize maybe the Steelers, Mike Tomlin specifically, don't really know what they're doing. Maybe this idea we've had of them for so long was wrong.
Well, it may be. They're going to keep doing what they're doing, and I don't know if it's the right way or the wrong way. They better get it right this year, because they have too many things invested. You know, we talk about quarterbacks, and how long are you going to keep chasing that? And if you miss, you got to keep chasing it and spending more draft equity on it or free agent money. Same is true with these offensive tackles and defensive line. If you don't hit on them, then your plan of trying to be physical and taking the air out of games and doing, to others what the Ravens did to the Steelers doesn't exist, because you can't do it. You can't execute it. So that's why this is, a work in progress. We'll see how it goes. They all fit what the Steelers are trying to do, I think, what they're looking for. If you look at their college careers,
sure.
Broderick Jones was dynamic. So was Fotanu. So was Harmon. All those guys have what it takes. At least they did in the college game. Now they need to take it into this part of the game and be dominant at it.
412-928-9370. You hit on something there too for me, Bob, and that is, it's just hard for me to get excited about anything when you don't have a quarterback. And I don't think, even if Aaron Rodgers comes here, that you're going to have a quarterback who's going to lead you, I don't even think to a playoff win, but to championship contention. It's just.
Can you see a scenario where he's actually better than you think, and with the two wide receivers they have?
It's always possible, but that's not the way I'm thinking.
I know. I'm just saying it could happen.
It could, sure.
And I think that's how they're banking on this happening.
But I'm not seeing it, because I see a guy in decline who doesn't.
I think it has to be perfect.
Overly interested in playing football, which is a slight problem, and so all the rest of this, at least to me, is rearranging deck chairs. But please. Please, Steelers and national media, spare me the physicality conversation, because it's been going on for years. When I see it, I'll believe it. Haven't seen it for a long time. Spurts, certainly defensively, they've delivered some command performances in recent years in Buffalo, in Cincy against Burrow, but nothing that they ever maintained. And by the time they hit the playoffs, they've been one of the worst playoff defenses in the history of professional football. That's not an opinion. It's a fact.
Yeah, and that's the thing they kind of have set this up for. They put all the money into the defense. They put, you know, high picks into defense over the years, and you expect more than that. They went out and made a trade that they never trade, with giving up a first-round pick to get Minkah Fitzpatrick. And the last couple of years, we have not seen that same player that we saw in the first time around with him. So all of this is adding up to where this is a big year for them, and they better come through with run-stopping first and foremost. You know, you can talk about pass game all you want, but if you can't stop the run, then you're never going to stop a team, period.
True.
Because they can dictate everything they do to you. And that's what happened in that Baltimore game. They just said, we'll run it, and once in a while we'll throw it, and we're going to have success because you're putting everyone in the box.
So does adding one guy in the middle of your defense make you believe that when they line up?
No, but it's a step in the right direction.
Sure.
I mean,
but when they step up against Lamar and Derrick Henry in a game that matters, do you have faith in that? I don't. Plus, Cam now is 1 year older.
Right, he's going to be 36.
He was fabulous last season, but I think an undersold story or undertold story would be that he was hurt at the end of the year. And if you look at his numbers from the last four or five games, did he even have one sack? How many quarterback hits? He was hurting.
Yeah.
And he's a year older.
17 games at age 35. That's hard to do at that position.
Exactly. And so, now age 36.
Right. So that's another concern. That's why you need more people there. They added two this year. They're going to have to probably do the same thing next year.
So overall, do I like the player? Definitely like Derek Harmon a lot. Other than him, Bob, when you look past him, who's your favorite pick from the Steeler draft? And you can chime in on this as well.
I would be inclined to say Sawyer, only because I like how he plays. But I don't know if, you know, he's – and I wondered about that just because now they have four edge rushers. It's always good to have, you know, depth at positions. I get that. But I thought if he was really looked at, you know, globally as someone who's going to make a difference, he would have been taken higher than the round he was taken. But I still like him. I'm intrigued with Will Howard only because I see a guy who – seems to understand, you know, big stage football, at least in college.
Yeah.
I think his upside right now is a big-time backup. I don't know if he can be a franchise guy, which I, you know, thought going into this whole process that they would draft a quarterback, but it wouldn't be the franchise. That would come next year. So we'll see. But I've also seen guys develop quickly. So I would have to say Jack Sawyer followed by him.
I'm going to go, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. This is from Brooke Pryor. Is it Y-E Black?
Y-A.
Y.A. Black?
I think it's Y.A. Black.
Y.A. Black.
Like Y.A. Tittle, but it's not spelled that way.
I like that a lot, Bob.
Y-A-H-Y-A.
I just like the fact of going back and getting a guy who has a giant man who has a run-stopping resume. My favorite part of this whole draft was that Mike and Omar doubled down on the defensive line.
They had to.
And brought in a guy like that. So when I say, is one guy going to make a difference? Well, maybe two do. Maybe two make a difference up front. Maybe this kid could come in and play.
I think the expectation is they both should play right from the get-go, or very quickly anyway.
Limits, who was your favorite pick after Harmon?
Harmon, 6'4", 315, and Y.A. Black is 6'5", 335. So they definitely have added to that defensive line. I like the Caleb Johnson pick. I didn't know if he was going to be available. Big Ten running back of the year, first team all Big Ten. He had a school record 21 rushing touchdowns last year. And yeah, he's only a 4.57 guy in terms of speed. We'll see how that might translate, but 1,700 all-purpose yards. I think they have a pretty decent tandem now between Warren and Johnson that they could build around for years to come.
Don't
so I like the Johnson
Kenneth
pick.
Gainwell. I think he was an under-the-radar pick, selection free agent.
Well, I have a lot of questions for both of you about that and the draft at large, including the Shedeur Sanders drop.
That was very interesting to watch.
It was. I like Caleb Johnson. I was slightly alarmed when Nick Saban said he reminds me of Najee. I'm hoping the fact that he had some explosive runs, several in college, translates to the NFL because his 40 time doesn't indicate we have a sprinter, a home run hitter on our hands, but he did have longer runs than Najee did when Najee was in college. And I don't know if I've told you this, Bob, but there's a list of Steeler running backs from history that had both a higher yards per attempt and a longer run in their career than Najee. Have you heard about
I've
this?
I've heard that before, yes.
Can you name two of them?
From the Steelers, you mean?
Yeah.
Willie Parker?
Certainly him. I'm talking mediocre guys, though. Najee Davenport?
Oh, the dump truck. That was one of the best nicknames ever, the dump truck.
Tim Worley?
Tim Worley?
Pollard?
Pollard.
Tim Worley was a seventh overall pick, I believe, yeah. and he was out of the game before you knew it, right? I mean, he didn't last.
And yet still had a longer run or a couple of them than Najee ever did.
Was it Jonathan Dwyer on that list?
He was on that list, limits, and thank you.
You're
Chris
welcome.
Kuamata-Maafala was on that list.
LeGarrette Blount was on that
LeGarrette list. LeGarrette Blount was on that list. Come on. You need some explosion in the run game.
Well, maybe
is this
guy
going to add it? Is he going to add
His time doesn't indicate he would, but yeah, they need it. They need people who can do that. With one play can change everything.
That's what they need. And he did have those plays.
Warren could be that guy. I still think Warren, coming into this, should be the lead back. Even though they're going to use both guys. You know,
I'm going to ask you in limits about that coming up next, Bob. We're going to look at the Steelers' position groups after the draft. And I'm very excited to hear your opinion on that.